3:28, sweet, sweet spirit. We'll sing both verses of 3:28. Let us stand and sing together.
Good morning. The sun is shining. The sun is shining. Winter is here. Finally. If it will stay here for a few days, maybe it will kill some of the germs that are around and we can all benefit from it. But it is good to be in the Lord's house today. It's good that we can worship the Lord together today. It is a special day because it is the Lord's day. As we begin this morning, you'll note some very, very beautiful flowers here this morning. They have been given in honor of Ada Council, who would have been 98 on the 14th. So Susan, thank you, and all of the family, and I know that there are many precious memories that you all hold. And indeed, it is nice that we can be blessed by this beautiful array on such a beautiful day. Wanda, can you give us an update on Nicole? That's good. That's good to hear. And so please remember, continue to remember Nicole Fraser Williams. I wanted to put the name in the boom. I could not remember the last name. And so I do remember Nicole Fraser quite well. So please continue to remember them. Linda, you have to be very proud of your family. I won't get into all the details of the story. But you know, that's a great testimony of people caring. It is. It really is. Yeah. There you go. See, the strategic people that the Lord places at the right place at the right time. So, yes, we will. Yeah. Okay. 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 But it's up and down, and they're good and bad days. So it is good to have people that care. It's It's good to have people that are looking out for you. It's also great to know that the Lord has our back. And so at this time, may we go to the Lord in prayer. Yes. Oh, yeah. Believe me. I'm looking forward to doing it, too, because I'm hoping the Lord is going to add some extra things to it as we go along. Because that shipwreck thing, it happens. It does. Maybe go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we do thank you for this day, for the opportunity to come to your house, to worship, to sing, to hear your scriptures, to hear your word, to hear the voices of all the children and all the people that are here. Dear Lord, this is a place of worship, a place where we come to give you praise and we honor you. Dear Lord, we thank you for the blessings in our life, for the failures in our lives. We also know that sometimes life can be very difficult. It can take us in many different twists and turns. Sometimes we don't know up from down, right from left. But through all of this, you are there. So, dear Lord, we are thankful that you are a God who cares about us, who has given us mercy and grace and favor, and who never abandons us. Be with us this day, we ask in your name. Amen.
Our offertory hymn this morning is going to be 652, Jesus Loves Me. We'll sing the first and the last verses of 652. Let us stand and sing together.
Dear Lord, we know that you indeed love us and that you love us unconditionally. We are so thankful that we are your children and that we have received your blessings. Dear Lord, as we come and share and give back our tithes and our offerings, we ask that it be used to further your kingdom and to bless your creation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavens. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
All right. I think we might have some here. Let me see to check on their status. Y'all doing good? Come on in. All right, it's children's time. Karen, come on down. All right, let's come here and have a seat. I think we got a lot of energy this morning. And you know what? I am pretty sure that every one of us sitting out of here would just like to have a half of it this morning, and it would be a great, great day. All right, guys, now, I want you to look at something here. I got something in this bag. It's very, very important. Yeah, and what we're going to do is we're going to see what's in here. It's a box.
It's a box.
Ooh, I got something in this box, too. All right, let's open it up and see what's in here. Okay, you want to help me? All right, help me out here. Can you help me get it right there? There we go. Oh, look what's in here. Oh, let's start taking it out. I know you can. All right. All right. Now, can you take one of those out? Can you take one of those out and give it to somebody? Can you take that one out? All right. Give it to somebody. Now, you want to pull one out? Here you go. Look at here. Take this. Here you go. Look at here. Oh, look at here. All right. Yeah, you want to take one? Yeah, you take one. Ooh, here you go. Now, we have a bunch of boxes. Now, these boxes, out of this box, there are seven different boxes. Here we go. Yeah, seven different boxes. Now, look what's on your box. Do you see a picture on your box? Can you tell me what's on your box? The sun, that's right. And you've got birds. What are you? Do you have something on your box? What's that right there? A flower, that's right. What's on your box? What have you got on your box? Oh, you got all different kind of people. Well, do you know what? You know why I gave you all these boxes? There's seven of them. There's seven of these boxes. And all the things that are on these boxes, God made, and God created. He did. And you know what? He created you, and me, and everybody that's here. Yeah, you too. Yeah, all of us. God created. In the beginning, God created everything. Everything that we see on these bodies. Yes. And you know what? We're thankful for it. Now, I think in the next coming weeks, we're going to be spending a little bit more time on this, and we're going to learn the different things that God created at different points in time. Won't that be good? All right. Now, can y'all help me again? You know, we got these out of here. Let's see if we can put them back in. Okay, put them back in. There you go. There you go. Yeah, y'all can help. Yeah. There we go. Let's get them in there. That's good. That's good. You got it. Throw it in there. And that's good. That's good. There we go. There we go. Can we grab that one? Yeah. And this one. Oh, very good. And we got this one. Yeah. And can you get it in there? Yeah, it's kind of hard. Oh, there it is. And let's throw these in there. There we go. All right, guys. I know, we didn't quite get them all in order, did we? So we got to take this one out and put this one in, put that one out, put this one in, put that one, in, and now we have them what? All together. Very good. All right, we are ready to roll now. Time for CIA. Now, there is another part to this story. And this is for the adults. This morning, as we know, we had seven boxes. Two things we're trying to do. Can you recognize different things that have been created? Which they could. Learning to count to seven is important. Knowing that God created things is important. But here is the lesson that I was going to go to if I had to go to plan B. This morning we only had four of the seven boxes. We did find the other three. But here is the lesson that I was going to use, and this is a lesson for us. God created a perfect world, but we live in one that's what? Very imperfect. And may we remember, God created it perfect. God's still here. And in all the imperfections that we encounter, God's still there. Amen. All right. If you would turn to Psalm 73. I got to do a technical change here. This is not wanting to stay. All right, here we go. If you'll turn to Psalm 73. This is one that reminds us of how life is and how life can be. And sometimes the choices that we make and the consequences of them. This psalm starts out very strong in the very first verse. But by the second verse of the 73rd Psalm, you're in a whole different world. Then we'll skip down to verses 21 to 28, because here we see the psalmist coming to terms with the realities of everyday life. So in Psalm 73, let's look first at 1 through 3. God is indeed good to Israel, to the pure in heart. But as for me, my feet almost slipped. My steps nearly went astray. We also know sometimes we don't just slip, we fall. Sometimes we don't just nearly go astray, we go astray. And then here you get one of the reasons for nearly falling. For I envied the arrogant. I saw the prosperity of the wicked. In other words, someone else seemed to have it better than what? Me. And I wanted it. And sometimes we'll pay a big price to get it. Sometimes that price, and Linda, here's one of the points, will shipwreck you. It will wreck you. It will break you apart. And sometimes you'll be adrift. But then the psalmist comes back and things kind of clarify. The dust settles. One reaches dry land. Verse 21. When I became embittered, and my innermost being was wounded. I like this translation. And it's probably good the children aren't here because they would say, you're not supposed to say this. But here is the translation. I was stupid and didn't understand. Sometimes we are just plain stupid. We really are. I was an unthinking animal toward you. Yet I am always with you, and you hold my right hand.
So here's that realization in the midst of all of this. I know, God, you're there. You're with me. I'm holding your right hand. You're holding my hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will take me up in glory. Who do I have in heaven but you? And I desire nothing on earth but you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart, my portion forever. That strength is a guarantee, and it's a permanent guarantee. Those far from you will certainly perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, God's presence is my good. I have made the Lord my refuge. And then this is the clincher. So I can tell about all that you do. We all have life journeys with it up and down. God stands by us, even in the midst of a tremendous sense of loneliness that we may have, or an abandonment that we may have. But we live through it, and God is with us. And we have stories to share with each other, because the shipwrecks come, but the Lord is in the midst. Amen.
Our second hymn this morning is going to be 534, Take My Life and Let It Be. We'll sing all four verses of hymn 534. Let us stand and sing together.
Please be turning to Acts 27, verses 39 through 44. This will be towards the end of Paul's experience at sea, and we'll talk a little bit more about what was involved with it in just a few moments. And we will go straight from scripture reading into the message. The special music, 4 days late, though, is a great song. And I am sure we will be singing it soon. It is goes very well with what we're saying now. Sometimes it may, with what we'll be saying today, sometimes it may seem as if the Lord is a little late, but the Lord is always on time. Doesn't matter when, it's always the right time. Acts 27. Paul is on the way to Rome. Phil will wrap up our study of Acts week after next, and with Paul in Rome, and that will we'll have gone full circle with the early church. But this journey today and this passage today is a critical leg in Paul's journey to Rome. And so I'm going to pick it up with verse 39, and we'll finish out the rest of chapter 27. And then we will look about what does it mean to trust God in the midst of life's storms, a lesson from Paul. When daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but sighted a bay with a beach. They planned to run the ship ashore if they could. So they had a plan A, and there would also be a plan B if they needed it. After cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea, at the same time loosening the ropes that held the rudders. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and headed for the beach. They were doing everything they knew to do to try to safely dock this boat. But they struck a sandbar and ran the ship aground. The bow jammed fast and remained immovable, while the stern began to break up by the pounding of the waves. Were they in trouble? Yes. A lot of times we see trouble coming. We do everything we know to do to try to prevent it, and yet it still what? Comes. It still comes. The soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners so that no one could swim away and escape. Now the soldiers were thinking ahead too, because think about it. They've got these prisoners. Let's say for some reason the soldiers survive and the prisoners survive and they get away. Somebody's going to be held what? Accountable. So they're trying also to make sure that they've done what they're supposed to do. You got a lot of stuff happening fast at one time. But you know, in the midst of all those things, God has a way of placing key people in your life at just the right time. Persons that you might not think would be God's ambassadors, but they end up being God's ambassador. Verse 43, but the centurion kept them from carrying out their plan. The centurion is the person who is in charge. Earlier on in this chapter, we're given his name, Julius. I wondered a lot about Julius. See, the Bible very rarely mentions name. Why would they mention the name of this centurion? Well, you see, the centurion is the one that says, no, we're not going to what? Kill the prisoners, which included who? Paul. This centurion was on that boat for a reason. Now, was this centurion an earlier follower of Christ? Perhaps. The Bible's not clear on it, but it does mention him by name. That's significant. That's important. That also may tell us why we know the details that we have as well as Paul. But the centurion kept them from carrying out their plan because he wanted to save Paul, and so he ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to follow, some on planks and some on debris of the ship. And here's the clincher. In this way, everyone safely reached the shore. They all made it. All of them. Now, what is it that we learn from this? I want to talk with you a little bit about turbulence. Any of you ever been on a plane and you had some turbulence? That up and down part? How'd you like it? Not much. I remember one time, Johanna, you might remember this, trip on a plane. I was given a paper in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and the best route we got was going through Chicago and then to Albuquerque rather than going just straight across. Well, it happened to be at a time when there were some storms going on. Now, Johanna and I, we wanted the window seat because we wanted to see what was going on and all of this kind of stuff. And it was an interesting ride. It was a fun ride. They also had to de-ice the wings later on. So it was just a real grand journey, and you're up there in the sky and thundering and lightning and all this going on. Turbulence. Turbulence. Jesus and the disciples. You'll remember the story of boat. They were out on the water. It was storming. What did Jesus do? He calmed the storm. He calmed the storm. The turbulence, the shipwrecks in our life, Jesus is there in the midst of that. Sometimes we don't see him because we take our eyes off of him. But he's there. Paul, in this journey to Rome, he's left Caesarea and he is on route via Crete, and they eventually head towards Malta before going to Italy. This journey is a long journey. Sometimes the winds are favorable. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes the seas are rough. Paul had thought that it might be a good idea for them to stay in Crete and winter there and kind of wait it out, and then leave later. Now, Paul had some experience because he was on the open seas a lot. But remember, Paul is a prisoner, and is he necessarily going to be followed, or is his suggestions going to necessarily be received? No, he's not in charge. So they sail on, and they encounter a northeaster. High wind. High waves, tossed around. They try to lighten the boat, and they also are short on food. We're later told that they're adrift for about 14 days, and they finally eat. And we're told that there are 276 people on board. Why all those details? Because they all made it. Now, let me ask you to put yourself on this boat for just a second. You're on this boat with Paul. You're a fellow prisoner. Or you may be one of the soldiers that is on the boat. Try to put yourself in either one of those. In the midst of all of what's going on, Paul says he's had a vision from God. And that everybody's going to be okay and everybody's going to make it
because he's supposed to go to Rome. Now, if Paul had said that to you and you're on that boat, what would you have said? Would you have believed him? Be honest. He's thinking, what is wrong with this guy? We're in the midst of this thing. We're going to potentially die. I will tell you what I think is a somewhat humorous story. When I was at Bragtown years and years ago, I'd taken a bunch of teenagers on a beach trip and a mission trip. And we were staying in a place. It was a nice place and had war rides and all that attached to it. Well, 3 o'clock in the morning, you may remember Evelyn Gay, her son Michael. 3 o'clock in the morning, Michael's running around. We're going to die, we're going to die, we're going to die. Because there's this fire alarm that's going off. Well, we didn't die, but everybody got up. And he was a good alarm for it. We all made it. Paul, though, is assured that God is going to take care of him. And for some reason, this centurion is not going to have these prisoners killed when the boat finally goes ashore. They survive. The centurion here is God's ambassador, the person that's also key in this taking place. God puts people in our life at key times. We just may not always realize who they are until sometimes after the fact. But they're there. Now, they reach shore. They eventually get to Malta. There, the people receive them. It's an island. The people receive them and feed them. And Paul, they're cooking food and stuff. Paul sticks his hand in the fire and he gets bit by a snake. But the snake doesn't kill him. The people think Paul is a god. But here's what happens. Those events, however odd they may sound, created an environment for Paul to share the gospel and to heal. Paul continued to minister wherever he was in whatever situation he found himself in. And so you see this even after having survived the shipwreck. So Paul never lost sight of what his mission and what his purpose was. So this got me to thinking about some things about everyday life. And so I want to talk a second about the turbulence that we face in our own lives. Turbulence that we have faced, turbulence that we're in right now, and things that could be happening going forward. How often are we shipwrecked in our life? More times than we care to admit. We get knocked off our feet every now and then. We can see it coming, we can try to avoid it, and we still get knocked off. Everyday challenges sometimes can overwhelm us because it's all coming so fast and so hard. Case in point, deal with the infant 24/7. It will derail you, guaranteed. Everyday challenges can lead us to fatigue, frustration, sense of failure, and burnout. Now, am I telling the truth? Yes, I am. We know this. We know this. We have all types of things that come at us that can derail us. For instance, fear
and discouragement. Will I get paid on time? Will people accept me as I am? Can I do this? Lord, I'm not equipped to do this. And if it doesn't happen quickly and easily, it's easy to get discouraged. And then when things start to pile on, it's like, Lord, what is this? But God's still there. Worry and guilt. We sometimes worry that there are things that we have done. I think I lost it. Oh, good. Thank you. There are things that we have done that we wonder if God will forgive us. There are things that we have done that causes people to lose trust and confidence in us. There are things that we have done that we cannot forgive ourselves. That's the reality of our lives. But you know, God loves us. God accepts us. And so no matter what we may fear or how discouraged we may be, how worried we may be, how guilty we may feel, God loves us, meets us where we are, and extends His grace and His mercy. Our life may be wrecked, but God can put the pieces back together and have them make sense. Temptations. We all have temptations. To some degree or another, all of us have something that we're addicted to. Think about it. Some of those addictions have harsher consequences than others. Now, I'm addicted to food, and it's quite obvious. And sugar is number one, and sugar is not good for you. But we have those addictions. I shared this story once before, but it's worth sharing again. George Gallup, the Gallup poll. Everybody heard of the Gallup poll? Well-known public opinion poll. George Gallup and Randy Alcorn were at a meeting one time at Princeton University, and they were discussing, why don't people do X, Y, and Z, and this, that, and other. People just need to kind of man up and step up. And George Gallup looked at Randy Alcorn in the face and says, you're not an alcoholic, are you? He said, well, I am. He said, my father was an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic. He said, I prayed, I tried to break it. Willpower is not enough. He said, but here's what made the difference. So one day I heard the Lord clearly tell me, George, if you never, ever break this addiction, I still love you. If you never overcome this, I still love you. Let that sink in. Let that really sink in. Even if you fail, I still what? Love you. You are my child. You have my mercy. You have my grace. You have my love. He said, once that really sunk in, he said, I'm still an alcoholic, but haven't drunk again since then. But I know that that's who I am. Powerful story. Anger, resentment. That's that song we just looked at. I want something. I want something that somebody else has. Why can't I have it? Why does it have to be hard for me? Some of us say, I can't ever catch a break. You ever said that? And just when I think I'm going to get my head above the water and things are going to be fine, something comes and whoosh, I'm I'm right down there again. Anger, frustration. Here's the reality. Bad things will happen to all of us, whether we are good or what? Bad. They'll still happen. They're going to happen. The issue is how we deal with it. How do we address it? And do we try to see it from God's perspective, or do we see it only from our own perspective and our own sense of what we think justice is? But see, God doesn't work that way. Sometimes God's 4 days late. But that 4 days late is only how we see it. Because God has been on time the whole time. Remaining faithful to God, being willing to serve Him. I think of the parable of the rich young ruler. All that Jesus asked, are you willing to give up what you treasure most to follow me? We'll talk about that parable in the next month. That's one that we will be using as we go to Easter. Doubt and procrastination. How many of you start out full steam ahead? First obstacle you get, you start to what? Second guess. And then if it's something that you want to do but really don't know quite how to do it, well, I'll put it off. I'll do it tomorrow. I don't really need to do it today. It's not all that important. Who is our worst enemy? Ourself. We are. We have choices. We've been given free will. We have choices. Let me suggest, without being harsh, the doubt and procrastination, and I'll say this personally for myself as well, in doing so. Doubt and procrastination are the keys to failure and mediocrity. Because doubt and procrastination is really keeping the focus on me and what I can do, rather than allowing God to be working through me. Letting God come in and set the record straight. So, Joel Osteen, who's often criticized as being a prosperity preacher, which I will disagree with, but I'm not going to get into that today. Osteen reminds us we have choice. We can be a victim, or we can be a victor. We can be shipwrecked and stay there, shipwrecked, or we can make it to shore. We can make it to dry ground. You see, we are children of God. We have favor. We have been blessed. And the Bible says we are to live life to the full. We have a life of abundance. See, that's not prosperity. That's just a promise that's in the Bible. Go read it. John 10:10. I came so that you may have life to the full. That you may have the abundant life. Abundant. In God's understanding of having all that you need for each day. So, how do we successfully navigate turbulence? How do we merge intact when we've been shipwrecked or derailed? I'm going to suggest a few things. First, trust God's power. You have to begin, we have to begin by first trusting God. If we trust just ourselves, what's going to happen? It might work, it might not. I'm going to hedge my odds. I'm going with God. God has my back. Pray like your life depends on it. Now, what's interesting about that statement? Pray like your life depends on it. It's kind of odd, isn't it? We pray not like our life depends on it. We pray because our life does depend on it. Pray fervently. Know your purpose. God put each one of us on this earth for a reason. And as we interact with each other, we understand and we see the fulfillment of that purpose. When we are derailed. Now, I used a particular word. I said when. I didn't say if. I said when. Because we will all be derailed at one point or another. We will be shipwrecked just like Paul was shipwrecked. But how do you correct your course? That's where God comes in. I'm finally learning to trust Waves. Everybody know what I mean with that app, the GPS app? You put it in, it tells you where you're going. And then it also is smart enough to let you know when what you think is the right route isn't the right route. But you got to trust it enough to what? Do it. Now, I have to admit, I haven't trusted it enough to do it because I still think I know what the right way is sometimes, and I find out that it's not. Because I didn't realize there was a car up there stalled over there that was going to, throw everything on. But it reminds us, we're like that a lot with God. God knows what we need to do. Do we allow ourselves to follow God's GPS? How quickly do we respond? And are we walking hand in hand with God? Too often we fail to keep our eyes on the destination. Now, there are a couple of phrases that I think have gotten a bad rap in our current culture, and I'm going to bring them up because we're losing the meaning behind it. We say, well, that's just a trite remark. It's just a cute phrase. It's too oversimplified. No, it's not. Here's one of them. WWJD. What does that mean? What would Jesus do? That's not a trite remark. When I got something facing me and I don't know what in the world to do, I need to know what Jesus would do. What would Jesus do in that situation? And I think the song that we learned, and all of us know it, Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya. What, man, you mentioned Kumbaya today, and people think you crazy. That song has gotten such a bad rap. Kumbaya, Kumbaya, we've heard all that. What does Kumbaya mean? Lord, come by here. Wouldn't you like Lord to come by? When you're in the midst of the storm, don't you want the Lord to come by? I do. I certainly do. And then that favorite one from, this is the 60s and 70s. It only takes a spark, right? And pass it on. You want to know one of the major reasons why churches are experiencing some trouble now? We have failed to take this gospel and pass it on. Because as we will see tonight in the lesson with Tony Marita tonight, it only takes a spark sometimes. And someone who has never even considered being close to the Lord finds their life shipwrecked and restored through that gospel. So, what would Jesus do? Lord, do come by here and let's pass it on. That is what we're here for. And then finally, be willing to carry someone else's burden. Sometimes that can be something that is very, very simple. Let me give you a case in point. Let me paint a scenario. You're sitting in a restaurant, or I'll just give an actual story. Yesterday, you're in Bojangles. I was in Bojangles yesterday. I was there. And I was going back to get some more food, but in between that time, Carol tells me a story. There's a mother by herself with two kids. She's got one kid in one hand, her food in another hand, and one that's walking with her. Now, is she having to rely on a whole lot of trust at that point? Amen. Amen. She's maneuvering all of that, and she gets the tray down. But she's still got to keep up with the what? Kid, and she's got to get a chair for what? The kid. God bless this person. Someone that she did not know saw what all was going on and did a very simple act of kindness. What do you think it was? She needed a chair, and what? He went and got it. It was he at this time. He went and got it. Came and set it down and made it easier for them. Don't we need that help sometimes? Something as simple as that? Are those things that we can do? Sure it is. Sure it is. One of the best ways to emerge from a shipwreck is to rely on God. Know that God is there. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Acknowledge what is happening, but don't get swallowed up in it. I have found that when things are going really hard for me and life's coming at me at all different angles, the best way to emerge from the situation that you are in is to realize that God put you here for a purpose. And just simply go out and help somebody else. Very simple, very basic. It's what happens when you do that. You're not caught up in all of what's going on with you. It reminds you of what's really important. And see, we are here to uplift each other. There are plenty of people here that we can uplift. And I've got some more I'm going to say, but I don't think y'all want me to go to about 12:30 today. I'm not going to do that, but I got it. I'm going to save it, and I'm going to come back with it. But you know, we're powerful. We are very powerful. Collectively. Because I know that each one of you cares about people. And that there are people in each one of our lives that need us. And there are people that God will put in our path that are going to need us. And as a community of believers, when God presents us with an opportunity, we have the opportunity to respond. Even if it means tearing the door down and having somebody that knows how to get it back together. It was a blessing. And that's the way God works. And that's all I got to say.
Our hymn of invitation this morning is going to be "Wonderful Amazing Grace." We'll sing the first verse of